Wow, who is excited to be in God's house on 2024? Let me see you. Come on. Praise God. He is risen. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. Come on. I love Easter. If you can't preach on Easter, there's something wrong with you. Come on now. Like, this is the exclamation point of God's love and his story, right? And again, thank you guys so much for joining us. Welcome to you and your families for joining us here on Easter. Man, I'm just so excited about what Easter presents for us. There's so much celebration. There's so much joy. There's so much hope. There's so much proof. There's so much resurrection power available to us today by the reality and the truth of what Jesus did for you. All those things about Easter, but the thing I love most about Easter and the thing that I've been meditating on this week and that I want to share with you today is that Easter is an invitation. Everyone say invitation. Easter is an invitation to you and I. And we're gonna unpack that together this morning and what that means for us. A celebration, but it's also an opportunity for us and an invitation for us to have an intimate, authentic, real, personal relationship with a living God. A God that is not dead, a God that is not in the tomb, but a God that is very much alive and very much in tune with everything of who we are, what we need, and where he wants to take us. Amen? And so today, don't get all the stuff that surrounds Easter. Confession to make for you this morning. Reese's eggs and Starburst jelly beans are my weakness. How many of you guys have had some already this morning? Let's be bold and show us that. Yeah, I after breakfast, I scooped up some of the kids' basket there. And, you know, dad's got to get the tithe of the Easter basket, right? So, sorry, a bad joke. But I love spring. The weather needs to wake up. Which winter is this? Right? I don't know what's going on here. But am I now? Oh, God. That's not going to work, right? Here, can you take this from me? Watch, wait, there's more. Hold on, watch this magic trick. Oh, I was all full of tricks this morning. I just keep pulling. So yeah, Easter, I love spring. I love the weather. I love dressing up. I love the family photos. I love March Madness. I love the Masters, all those things around Easter. I love the egg hunts. We had an awesome egg hunt here yesterday. Many of you guys were out for that. My goodness, we had so much fun. The rain didn't hold us down. We were able to do it in the gym. And I love the Easter bunny and the baskets and all that. But I think we're all aware, all of that is not the real reason or purpose or meaning of Easter, right? Although fun, that's man-made stuff that surrounds this very special day. But as you and I look into the true meaning of Easter, we simply can't ignore that Easter is an immense and amazing invitation for both you and I. And I want to unpack that together today because I think there's a couple invitations that God gives you and I on Easter through what he did through his son Jesus. But before we dive into those, would we first just pray and ask God to speak to us this morning, meet us where we're at, and help us be encouraged today as we leave. Father, we love you so much and we thank you for your presence. We've been worshiping you all morning. You are our King. That's who we're talking about. We're talking about you and your son, Jesus, Lord. We thank you that you are King and you are Lord, and we pray that you would have your will and have your way in our time together. Father, we pray for a closer relationship with you. We thank you for encouragement this morning. We thank you for the incredible invitations that we want to receive and unpack today, and may I let them become a reality in our lives today and change us. Lord, we thank you for today, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. And everybody agreed, said, amen. So before we talk about what invitations you and I are presented with, I want to first talk about the why first. Like why is Easter Sunday so exciting and a reason to celebrate? And a lot of us know this, but if we don't, it's always good to be reminded of this every year, of why we celebrate on Easter. And a lot of it has to do with what happened on Friday, right? On Friday, right? Many of us know what happened on Friday. Jesus died on a cross for you and I and was buried in a tomb. And as you guys know, if that was just the end of it, then we're really not shouting everybody down this morning, right? Because Jesus and God himself said, I would raise on the third day. So if he was still in the tomb, worship's pretty quiet this morning. We're wasting our breath and our time this morning, right? It's just a religious occasion. But no. On the third day. But God. Come on, somebody. Jesus didn't stay in that tomb. He rose from the dead, right? And just as he prophesied. And so what does that mean for you and I? That means he is who God said he was, which means we can have everything that God says we can have according to his word because he's legit. He put the exclamation point on the prophecy, on the story. He fulfilled it to a T. Amen? See, Friday was good because Sunday was always coming. It was always coming. Good Friday, left alone by itself, turns into silent, dark Saturday, and we have nothing on Sunday to praise. But because Jesus got up out of that grave, come on, somebody, you and I can get a little loud in church this morning, right? Because he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, Friday was always Jesus' purpose, right? To die for our sins. But Sunday was Jesus' promise for us. Right? He prophesied even before he went to do it that he would raise on the third. And because he did that, that legitimizes his sacrifice. Jesus being crucified on the cross for us on Friday, but man, there's something significant about what happened after he was crucified that I think a lot of us, we miss this. This beautiful invitation of intimacy with God. And I want to go to it and look at this moment right after Jesus died as he was hanging on the cross. We're going to go over to Matthew chapter 27. This is right at the end. He's been on the cross for a long time, agonizing, getting close to the end. And right as he breathes his last breath, God gives us a little detail of something that happened that I think a lot of us just glaze over, that I believe is super significant for you and I's personal relationship with God. Check this out. In Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 and 51, and Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and he yielded up his spirit. Remember, no one took Jesus' life. He laid it down willingly. He yielded up his spirit, and he was no longer living on this earth. And check this out in verse 51. It says, then, behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split. What happened immediately after Jesus died on the cross for you and I? The veil was torn. Say that with me. Say, the veil was torn. Now, a lot of us, we don't have a lot of interaction with veils. This isn't a word I really say in my everyday vocabulary a lot, right? Common day wedding veils, you guys heard it in the video. A lot of times we're familiar with a bride on her wedding day, a veil over her face. It's beholding and concealing the beauty of that bride, right? For many of us, our common day veils are called curtains. All right? Anybody got curtains at home, right? You veil up your window because you want to block the sunlight or you want to hide what's behind the window at certain times, right? Many of us maybe have went to a performing arts center and seen a show or a play, and you know those big, I love this kind of imagery of that, those big, thick curtains where there's a lot of cool stuff going on behind the curtain, but none of us in the audience can see what's going on because it's a barrier, it's separating, it's a veil, right? The veil that was torn in the temple meant way more than just an ordinary piece of cloth tearing or ripping in two. You see, this is super significant, and I need to fill you in on some details of the temple and this curtain and this veil for us to understand the depth and the magnitude of what Jesus did for you and I. And so if we go all the way back to the very beginning, just as a little recap, Adam and Eve were in the garden. They were with God. They had intimacy with God, but they sinned, right? And immediately God's presence left them. But from the very beginning, God has always had a desire to have an intimate, personal relationship with mankind. And so he set up an order in under the Old Testament or in the Old Covenant. He set up a way for the people's sins to be forgiven so they could actually approach him and have a relationship with him. And this was set out in something called the tabernacle. All right. So I'm not gonna go into great length of this. This is such a deep study, but I think we need to understand this. What was the tabernacle? Well, in the Old Testament, the tabernacle was like a portable sanctuary. Wherever God led his people, they would set up this tabernacle, and it was separated into kind of two sections. It had the outer court, and then it had the tent of meeting back in the place. There was the holy place. Well, that's where the priests and the Levitical priesthood did their ceremonial cleansings and washings. But then there was a place really deep and intimate into it called the most holy place, or also known as the Holy of Holies. And this is where the Ark of the Covenant, there was a gold-plated box with cherubim like angels on it, and that's the mercy seat. And that's where God's presence dwelled before Jesus came. Before, and this This portable sanctuary went everywhere that the people of God went, until all the way up into the King of Solomon, when he built the actual physical temple in Jerusalem. And they still had this design where they had the outer courts, the holy place, and the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies. Now, once a year, on the Day of Atonement, just the high priest went into the Holy of Holies with the blood of a sacrificed animal and sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat to atone for all of the people's sins. This was the way that the people of God had relationship with him. Now, what separated the holy place where all the priests hung out and the most holy place where only the high priest went in? What do you think separated that? The veil. The veil separated the holy from the most holy, the most intimate, right? We see this in Exodus chapter 26, verses 31 through 33. You shall make a veil woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine woven linen, and it shall be woven with an artistic design of cherubim. You shall hang it upon the four pillars of acacia wood overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be gold upon four sockets of silver, and you shall hang the veil from the clasps. Then you shall bring the Ark of the Testimony, the Ark of the Covenant, in there behind the veil. And check this out. The veil shall be a divider for you between the holy place and the most holy. So the veil was a divider. A veil was a barrier, right? It was a separator between the holy place and the most holy place where God's presence dwelled. Now, the very last veil that would have been in the temple in Jerusalem on the day that Jesus was crucified was no wimpy piece of fabric. If you study this thing out, theologians and Bible scholars say this would have been 60 feet high, 30 feet wide, but the thing that amazes me, 4 inches thick. All right, this is total blackout curtain, all right? Like, if you need to sleep during the day and you work a night shift, you want this kind of veil, you know what I'm saying, over your window. Like, none of the light is getting through. None of God's presence is getting through. It's 4 inches thick. The presence of God was behind this veil. Why? Because God was holy and his people were not. And if God's holiness got onto them without them being atoned for their sin, they would die. This is so intense that the high priest, the one that went in each year, they would tie a rope around his waist and put bells on him. Why? Because when he went in on the Day of Atonement, they would hear the bells walking around. And if the bells stopped and he dropped dead in God's presence, they had a rope to pull his body out, because no other person could go in there without falling dead before the presence of God. This veil separated the people from God. I hope you guys are starting to see the significance of this veil that was torn. You see, the veil that was in the temple when Jesus was crucified was the last veil that there ever was. And God tore it in two. And it said in the scripture, he tore it from top to bottom. Now, if it was bottom to top, then man could have just ripped it, right? And it would have all been made up. But because it was top to bottom, that's 60 feet high, and ain't nobody up there flying with wings, God himself from heaven tore that veil from the top down. And if the veil is torn, that means that no one has to go back in to the holy place or the most holy place and make a sacrifice anymore, because there's no more veil. There's no more separation. That means that by God tearing the veil for you and I, that means that he accepted Jesus' sacrifice and Jesus' blood once and for all, so that we don't have to keep killing animals and making sacrifices to get to God, but we can come freely and boldly into God's presence whenever we want. The veil was torn. God is so good, and Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is so life-changing. And because that the veil was torn, Jesus rose from the dead, you and I have an invitation. And actually, I want to spend the remainder of our time just real quickly talking about two invitations that I believe Easter presents all of us that we can accept and we can receive today. The first invitation that Easter offers us, number one, is an invitation of intimacy. Everyone say intimacy. Closeness, an invitation of intimacy. Because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, you and I can have an intimate, real, alive, authentic relationship with a holy God. That is incredible. I love what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. It says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you once who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." I'm so thankful for the blood of Jesus. I'm so thankful for the sacrifice. We can celebrate today because of what happened on Friday. Because we were all afar off. We were all doing our own thing. We were all just doing whatever, field goal, whatever. But my goodness, by the blood of Jesus, we've been brought near to God. We can have intimacy with God. I love it. Jesus has brought us near, and this invitation is now available to us all time. The intimacy is there 24/7 if we want it. The veil is no longer hanging or there. We don't all no longer have to do all these rituals and all that. Jesus came and he tore the veil so that you and I could have a relationship with him. And tearing of the veil, it also meant doing away with the old system. That's good news for us, right? In the past, remember, only once a year the priest could go in to atone for the sins. Now we have full access to God's presence. Check it out in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 22. It says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he can consecrate it for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart of full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." This is huge. And this is God's invitation to us this Easter and every Easter. And it's simply the fact that God wants a personal relationship with every single one of us. And I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know, maybe you're here today and you came in this morning. You'd be honest. You said, you know, I'm feeling pretty distant from God, to be honest with you. I'm feeling pretty far away from God this morning. You know, maybe it's been a while since you've talked to God or acknowledged God's existence or presence in your life. Maybe it's been a while since you've been to church. Come on now, somebody. God loves you, and by the blood of Christ, he has brought you near. He tore that veil so that you could have a relationship with the holy and living God in heaven. Maybe you're here and you'd fall in a different category. You say, you know what? I know that God wants a relationship with me, but I feel like I've messed up too much. I feel like I've screwed up or blown it too much to have a relationship. I don't think God wants to have a relationship with me. No, God removed the barrier that stood in the way for you to have a relationship with God. So don't have any more shame or guilt. Just know that you can go to your Father. Maybe you're afraid to approach God, or you think that, you know what, this is cool, but I'm going to try, but I just don't think God wants to get close to me. Remember, you have 24/7 access. I love what Hebrews 4:16 says. It says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." Maybe you're here this morning and you're like, you know what, I already have a close relationship with God. And I think that's incredible and I think that's awesome, but I think the coolest thing about our God is that we've never fully arrived. We're not all there yet. There's new levels of intimacy. There's new levels of relationship that we can have with our Lord and our Savior Jesus. And Easter is a reminder, and Easter is an invitation to take a step of faith closer to a God in heaven who loves you so much that he sent his one and only son to die for you. Amen? Because the veil was torn, because the barrier was removed, we can all have an intimate relationship with God. That is some good news on Easter Sunday, right? May we take God up on his invitation and not be afraid of him, but come in boldly knowing that we don't come on our own merit. We come simply because of what Jesus did for us in the blood of Jesus. Amen? And now that blood has been shed once and for all. We don't have to keep doing that. We just receive it by faith and walk in the fullness of that. Amen? So that's the invitation of intimacy. If you need intimacy with God, get it today. Grab it by faith today on Easter Sunday. The second invitation that I want to kind of close with is this. Number two, the invitation of freedom. Someone say freedom. Freedom, right? The truth that the veil was torn and that the tomb is empty is an incredible invitation to you and I that we can experience true and lasting freedom in our life. And here's what I know. We all can use an ounce of freedom in our life. Our culture is so bound, so enslaved to so many things. Stress and worry and anxiety and depression, right? Fear of the unknown, fear of this or that or what's going to happen. Addictions, right? Sickness, guilt, shame from past mistakes, right? Shame from what has been done to us, right? Having that victim mentality. So much hopelessness I see in culture today. We need freedom. And Jesus came to set the captive free. Amen? Maybe you're here today and you can relate with some of those things. Know this, the root of all these things is sin. We live on an earth with a curse. And sin is like this scary S word that people like, don't say that. What is sin? It's just simply missing the mark, missing God's standard. And newsflash, we all do it. Every single one of us. No one's exempt from this, right? And sin is bad. The Bible says that the wages of sin, what does sin pay out in our life? What's payday when you're like, yeah, I'm in sin? It's death. Man, I'm going to cash that check today. Got paid today. It steals, kills, and destroys from your life and God's best for your life. And so the only way to receive forgiveness for our sins is by the shedding of blood through a sacrifice, right? We saw this in the old, and Jesus fulfills it to a T, but back in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, it says, in fact, according to the law of Moses, or the old covenant, the Old Testament, nearly everything was purified by blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. You see where we're going with this? You see how Jesus fulfilled the old and helps open up a greater, more better covenant based on better promises, better, more 24-axis intimacy, and greater freedom for us? That's why Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection was such a big deal. And a verse that I love that's been speaking to me this week, and maybe it'll encourage you, is Romans chapter 5, verse 8. It says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is good news, my friends. While we were still sinners, right? It doesn't say while we cleaned our life up and became this holier than thou goody two shoes, then Christ died for you. No, while you were still jacked up, while you were still in your sin, while you were still in your mess, while you still didn't know how to do it, while you're still slave to the devil, slave to addiction, Jesus died for you. That is love. That is extreme love. And no matter what situation you find yourself in today, know this, that God loves you and Jesus died to set you free. Amen. The other scripture I love when it comes to Jesus dealing with our sin and giving us freedom is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. If you're not familiar with that scripture, Paul says, for he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ, or in him. You see, Jesus took the burden of our sin. He took the burden of that barrier, that veil that kept us separated from God. He took the burden of all the junk in our life that separates us from a holy, awesome, pure God. You see, we need to understand that sin does have consequences. Sin separates us from God. I think this will help us. A lot of times we get the question, I think somebody actually asked it for next series. We're actually not going to have time to talk about it, but let's talk about it right now. You asked for it. So many people say, why did Jesus, one of his last words on the cross, why did he say, my God, why have you forsaken me? If the Father and him were one. Why did Jesus have a moment of loneliness on the cross? What happened in that moment when Jesus cried out and said, where are you, God the Father? Right? Pretty good question, right? When it's a Trinity and the three in one, they're tight like that. What happened there? The short answer to that question is because sin separates us from God. If you guys are familiar with that moment as Jesus hung on that cross and he's about to breathe his last breath, and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know that by the Lord, all of the sin of the world began to come upon Jesus. All of our past sin, all of our present sin, all of our future sins we have yet to commit came upon Jesus on that cross because he was the sacrificial lamb. He was the once and for all. He was the high priest, right? He was taking care of the old system so that we wouldn't have to keep making streets bloody with goat's blood, right? That we can just come into God and say, God, I need you. I messed up. I need some forgiveness. All of the sin of the world came upon Jesus in that moment. And for the first time ever, Jesus, the Son, felt separation from the Father because sin separates us from God. It wasn't that God loved Jesus any less or was disappointed with him about how he went to the cross or was ashamed of what they did with him. No, God loved his Son so much He sent him to die for us. But in that moment, God had to turn away because sin is a veil and it separates us from the presence of God. That's why what Jesus did on the cross for you and I, man, we don't even deserve that. It's so unfair, but it's so amazing. If it wasn't for Jesus, where would we be? Because Jesus set us free from sin once and for all. Last scripture I want to share with you guys, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 through 14. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not the earthly tabernacle we were talking about, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal, everlasting redemption. Like, it's forever. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies the purifying of the flesh, verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Guys, Jesus tore the veil. Jesus entered the holy place once and for all, the most holy, and took the penalty of our sin. This is incredible. This is an invitation for freedom for you and I. If you're living bound by the ways of the world, if you're living bound by what's going on in your mind and the thoughts the enemy's placing, if you're living bound by fear, bound by anxiety, bound by stress, bound by financial stress, bound by physical ailments and sickness, if you've been bound in any area of your life, if you feel restricted from the fullness of God, know this, that God, in his amazing love and his great mercy, sent his son and tore the veil and tore the barrier so that you and I could have relationship with God. It's so good, isn't it? Jesus took our sin. Jesus took our place. Remember, the penalty for sin was death. Jesus died. We didn't hang on the cross and die. Jesus took our place. He went to hell in our place. He took the keys of death in our place. He went to the tomb, but he didn't stay there. Come on now, and now he's seated at the right hand of the Father of God, position of authority and supreme authority. He is King of Kings, and he is Lord of Lords, and he's ruling, and he's reigning forever, and he's called us alongside him on the journey to live in freedom. Come on, man. That's why we can celebrate today. It's not about a religious holiday. It's about a relationship with a loving God. I love all the stuff around it, but the only relation that all of this has to a bunny is that Jesus hopped up out of that grave. Hashtag dad joke. Or hopped up like your kids on Starburst jelly beans for the next 4 hours, right? That's the only relation it has to a bunny. He is risen. Jesus is alive. Amen? And because of that, as you guys have heard, we have some amazing invitations. What have we talked about this morning on this Easter? Number one, you and I have an invitation for intimacy, greater relationship with God. I don't know what that looks like for you, but I know that God does. Maybe it's just taking a step closer to him today. Maybe it's saying, you know what, I need to get back in God's house more regularly. Maybe it's, you know, I'm going to start talking to God and crying out to him and not feeling so shameful when I even try to get back in that church flow because the veil's gone. We're acting like there's a veil, and God's like, what veil? I tore it once and for all. Please, son or daughter, come in and spend time with me. Maybe for some of us, we don't even have a relationship with God. You feel like, I don't feel like I have that personal relationship with God. You can do that by faith. In just a few moments, we'll have a time of a response of prayer. If you've never prayed a prayer to receive Jesus and the free gift of salvation, don't leave today without experiencing the fullness of what Jesus already purchased for you. Amen? The other invitation that we cannot overlook is that, man, Jesus gives us an invitation on Easter for freedom. So I don't know what you're battling. I don't know what's standing against you. I don't know what's tripping you up, but I know God does. And he is greater than that. The resurrection power is greater than anything the enemy will throw at you. And so that's why we have hope on Easter. Today, remember that we don't have to live in bondage anymore. We can come freely to God and be who God called us to be and created us to be, not because of what we've done, but because of what he's done. Amen? So we have some amazing invitations to respond to this morning and ponder. And so in a moment here, we're just gonna have a few moments of response, of worship, just to kind of cry out to God and give us some moments to kind of digest, like, what does that invitation look like for each of us on Easter? But before that, we do that, could I just pray for everybody? Could I pray for you guys? And then the team, if you guys are in here, you guys come on up and start getting ready, and we'll go into a moment of worship, and then we'll close up. Let's pray, though. Heavenly Father, we come to you not on our own merit, not on our own prestige or reputation, but simply by the blood of Jesus and that sacrifice that he made for us, Lord. We come to you in faith this morning, and we're grateful that we can celebrate in your house this morning the resurrection power. And we thank you that that power is not dead, but it's still very much alive in us and in this world today. We just have to look for those invitations. And firstly, Lord, I pray for a new depth of our relationship with you. We thank you, Lord, that Easter gives us a reminder and an invitation of intimacy with you. That you're not a distant, mad, grumpy old God on a throne waiting to whack us with a baseball bat when we swear or screw up. But you're a loving Father who desperately went to great lengths, the greatest length that I've ever experienced or seen or heard of, to send your one and only Son to die for us. To tear the veil of the old system and the law so that we could have right relationship with you and an intimate access to you. And so, Father God, whatever that looks like in our hearts, I pray, Holy Spirit, that in these next few moments, you would minister to us, you would draw us closer. If we feel like we're far off, may we know the truth of God's word, that we've been brought near by the blood of Christ, and that there's no more barrier and veil standing in our way. And Father, I also want to pray for any of us that maybe find ourselves in bondage, in slavery to something. It could be a sin pattern or a mental mentality or a perspective or a physical ailment, a sickness or whatever it is. We know it's not right. It's not of God, and it's not God's best for our life. Lord, we thank you for the power of the cross that abolishes that sin. And Lord God, we thank you that because the tomb is empty, sin and the grave no longer have any power in our life. And so, Father God, we want to break free and step into a new grace of freedom and a new river of victory in our life. And so I just pray for your people this morning. May you meet with us in these next few moments. May we ponder in our heart. May we praise you with our mouth and just glorify you and thank you for what you've done for us. And may we walk in the light and the reality of it. Lord, I pray this all in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody agreed, said, amen.